Well, we're going to read together from the scriptures, and you'll see the passage and the order of service there on page 1000 if you've got one of our church Bibles. Now, there's a little bit of preparatory work before we actually read, and some of it's going to involve a question or two. Come a bit closer to Chris, and to Chris more than Joe. You'll see there are two passages from Matthew 28, and Chris is going to read the first one, and Joe's going to read the second. Before that, we've got one or two questions, a little bit of an interview, and I've also got a little bit of a challenge. The next little bit on the order of service says children's address, and that means that I'm going to be asking one or two questions, and anybody who's like up to the end of primary, anyone up to P7 from like about zero, is perfectly free to answer those questions. Anybody older is free to answer them, but you won't get a Cadbury's cream egg if you get it right. It's as simple as that. But there's a sum to be done. There's a little bit of math if you come from one part of the world, or maths if you come from another. Now, first of all, a question. Chris is one of your names, but recently you've had another name, as you have put on an alter ego, another person. Who have you been playing these last few days?
I've had the privilege of playing Peter in the Aberdeen Passion.
And that was out at the Exhibition Centre for a couple of nights and a matinee?
So we had a performance on Friday night and then two yesterday, one in the afternoon and one in the evening.
Okay. Now, you're playing Peter, and what was it like playing Peter, and what did that do for you? And which bits in Peter's place in the story of leading up to crucifixion and then afterwards, what parts of all that really struck you and made you have to work through what was going on?
Well, as I said, it was a real privilege to play such a important part in the story. But it was a challenge for me to a certain extent, because everybody familiar with Peter as being this guy of great bravado and recklessness, and I'm really quite timid at times, and it didn't come naturally to me to do that at all. What I found, though, when I was looking at it, and focusing on the story and on Peter's journey through it, was this kind of level of insecurity that he has, and that it all ultimately comes from. He has this great faith, and it's amazing, but it's slightly misplaced in that until Jesus rises again, he really doesn't know who Jesus really is, even though he's the one who God reveals that he's the Messiah to. And it was kind of working through that, a man who basically has his entire identity sort of deconstructed by the events that he's in and rebuilt into something so much better. And in the end, isn't that what we all experience? And I think that was what kind of touched me the most about it.
So did you find some of that actually going on in your own mind, in your own heart, that deconstruction and reconstruction, or is that kind of thing?
Yeah, there's so many things I feel like I've learned from just these past few days, kind of the family that I've gained through it, and a sense of what God's doing in my life, and it's all kind of floating around in my head and not making a lot of sense at the moment, but it's clear that, you know, there's so much that he's doing in all our lives, and this is just like one of those highlighting points where you can kind of start seeing the amazing work that he has to do for us. And
God is at work, without doubt. Thank you. If you want to find out more about the Aberdeen Passion, then speak to Chris and some of the other folk in the fellowship who are involved in it one way or another. Joe was involved 2 years ago, a bit less so this time.
Very much a supporting role this time.
Yeah, mostly supporting baby Lily.
Yes. Indeed, yes.
Yeah, that'd be good. Okay, over to you, and please read to us some scriptures.
So this morning's reading is from Matthew 28, on page 1000, and reading from verses 1 to 10, and then 16 to 20. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Okay, now. Okay, have we got any? Well, we do. We've got some children who are just like up to anything between 0 and P7 up in the gallery. That's fine. And you can answer questions too. And if you get a question right, then I could throw one of these up to the gallery. And if it doesn't make it and lands on someone's head, then that's going to be sad. But there we are. Okay, now here's the question. Here's a maths question, first of all. In the bit from Matthew's Gospel that Chris and Joe just read out together, here's the question for the maths, okay? Anybody good at sums? Are any of you good at sums? Oh dear, right. Okay, here we go. I'll stand up here and then I can see those of you up here. I want you to take the number of Easter bunnies that were mentioned by Matthew in that account of the resurrection, and the number of Easter bunnies, and I want you to multiply it by the number of spring chickens that he mentioned. And then I want you to divide that by the number of times that Matthew used the word chocolate. And then I want you to multiply that by the square root of the number of daffodils that were mentioned in the story. And then I want you to add on to that, finally, the number of white, fluffy lambs that were dancing around in the fields during the resurrection morning. So if you got the answer to that question, then you've got your hand up. Well done. Go on. I bet your dad worked this out, didn't he? Because I saw him there with his calculator. He's got his hands up. Zero. Well done. No. Excellent. Right. Now, if it's not about daffodils and chocolate eggs, did any of you get an egg this morning? You did? You did got an egg? Just the one? Did only one person get an egg? Guys, did you not get an Easter egg this morning? No? Oh, no. Are you not allowed chocolate? Are you allowed chocolate? Your mum's allowed chocolate. That's very different. You are? Okay. Well, it's not about daffodils. Daffodils don't get mentioned, and chocolate doesn't get mentioned, and eggs don't get mentioned, and chickens don't get mentioned, and lambs don't get mentioned. But if you look at all the cards that there are and all the pictures that have to do with Easter in the shops, that's an awful lot of what it's about. Now, lambs are lovely. They're lovely in the field, and they're lovely. Anyway, lambs are lovely. I can't believe you guys can see me already. And daffodils are beautiful as well. They don't taste as good as lamb, but they're nice. And chickens are good. They're very useful. And all the other things that we mentioned, they're all really nice, but they're not what it's really about. Because who was Matthew mostly writing about? Who was the most important person in what Matthew was writing? This is worth a Cadbury's cream egg. Oh, should. Oh, this is going to test my bowling action. Sorry. Right, okay. Who was the most important person that Matthew was writing about? Absolutely. It's always going to be, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be Jesus. So here we go. You going to catch this? Well done. Well done. Okay. Now, the next person in the gallery has to catch it in their mouth. Okay. Moving on. Right. It's about Jesus. Now, here's the thing. There are lots of other people mentioned. Lots of other people mentioned. But it's about Jesus because Jesus did something. And something happened to Jesus that none of the people who were mentioned, like Mary and the disciples get a mention as well, none of them could have done what happened to Jesus, which is the most important thing in the story. So what had happened to Jesus in the story, in what Matthew was writing about? What had happened to Jesus? I'm going to get you. I'll get you in a second, Abigail, because I know you're going to get the next one right. Okay. I've got 5 eggs, and this is number 3. Okay, what had happened to Jesus in the story?
He rose again after 3 days.
Excellent, he rose again. It is so good to see you guys back. It really is, having risen again all the way from Africa. It's great. Are you well? Good. Prospect and NK and the kids, it's lovely to have you with us. Now, next question. Nobody could make happen what happened on Easter morning, right? Nobody except who? Who was the only person? Abigail, quick, good, okay. Who was the only person who could make that happen? I've clocked you guys, don't worry, we've got 2 left. 1 left. Who was the only person who could make that happen? Jesus and his heavenly... Excellent. Together with the help of the Holy... That almost should get 3 eggs, but that's... Well done, Abigail. Okay, right. This one's coming aloft next, okay? So, don't ever do this at home, right? Don't ever, ever do this at home. That's terrible. I should have taken my shoes off. Okay, back. Right. So, here's the wonderful thing. If God raised Jesus from the dead... And he was never, ever going to die again. If God raised Jesus from the dead, and if we get, when we believe in Jesus, we get what he has, that's life that will go on forever and ever, right? If we get life that goes on forever from Jesus, here's the thing. This is a really easy answer. Should we be able to be happy, whatever, or do we always have to be sad? Could we be happy, or do we have to be sad? Wow, that was a very fast... I don't know if I can get this all the way up there. What's the answer? Yeah, we can be. We can be happy. It's very difficult to share a cream egg, but anyway, I'm going to throw it up there, and if it looks like it's falling short, it's got to get right to the back row, okay? Can you help me here? Okay, here it comes. Are you ready to catch it? Because if it comes bouncing back down again, someone's going to get egg on their head. You ready? Here it comes. Whoa, well done, well done. Okay. Okay. No. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. We think that we have to seek God and look for him and try and find him. And that's kind of true in a way. But do you know what's really, really happened? What's really happened is that God has come for us. And he sent Jesus. And he sent Jesus to live and to die and to rise again so that we can be with God. But that whole thing about Jesus coming and living and dying and rising again, that wasn't something we did for him. And that didn't happen because we were looking for him. It happened because he was looking for us. And he came to get us. And he loved us so much that he came. And he conquered, beat death so that we could be with him. We couldn't do that. We couldn't do that. But he did it for us. And that's the wonderful thing about Easter morning. It is that God has done everything, so that we can be with him. Now, we'll come on to how long we can be with him for a little bit later on. But God has done everything. So, you and me, we don't have to make life with God happen. He does it. And you and me, we don't have to somehow or another force God into doing something he doesn't want to do. He's already done everything in Jesus. So he came, born in, where was he born? No more eggs this time, but where was he born? Born in? Well done. Born in Bethlehem, lived, died on the cross, rose again, so that you, me, all of us, can have life with God. He's done it all. Which is why this morning we're saying thank you to him and not thank you to ourselves. And it's why this morning we're praising Jesus and we're not praising ourselves for being religious. And it's why we're celebrating his love for us, not ours for him. Now we'll come on to how long that goes on for a little bit later on. We're going to sing right now, and we're going to sing about what a wonderful Savior Jesus is. And some of you know how we go with the sing hosannas and all the rest of it with this one. And if you don't, you follow on a bit or see how it goes. But here we go. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus. Now, normally at this point when it says sermon, and usually about this time on a Sunday morning, what happens next is about 3 or 4 hours of talk from me. But given the all-age company that we've got this morning, we'll trim that down. Couple of hours or something should do. I want to just go back to the kids that when we were speaking earlier on. Do you remember we were saying that God has done something so wonderful for us in Jesus, and he gives us life, new life with Jesus. Now, as I was saying, about how long does that go on for, that new life that we get with Jesus? So does anybody have an answer for the question, how long does the new life that we get with Jesus, how long does that last for? How long does that last for? Okay. Forever. Well done. Forever and ever? Forever and ever and ever? Excellent. Great. Now, here's the thing. When we think about Easter, we think about Jesus winning, if you like, in the battle with death. And Jesus rising from the dead and beating death so that we can go to where? So that we can go to, okay, sure. Excellent. So that we can go to heaven. Good. Now, there's no other way there. We don't get there because we're sort of nice people. We don't get there because we're polite. And we don't get there because we kind of dress nicely or something. We don't get there because we're, decent or British or something like that. We only get there because Jesus takes us there. That's the only reason. And he's the only one who can do that, because he's the only one who beat death. So he's the only one who can take us to heaven. So Easter tells us that heaven, if we belong to Jesus, heaven is our home, which is wonderful. But it's not just all for later. Okay? Here's a question for you. Again, back to the kids. When you're young, like you are, right, and you look at some of the people around in church, just have a quick squint around in case you've kind of blanked it out, okay? Do you think that a lot of us are young or old? You're working out what the acceptable answer is, aren't you? You think we're young or old? Or do you think some are young and some are old? What do you think? Go on, Emma. Some are young and some are old. Now, you might think that all this talk about heaven is only for the old ones, because they're, you know, pretty nearly there, you know, whereas you've got, like, immeasurable amounts of time ahead of you. But here's the thing. Because Jesus conquered death, and because he went to heaven and, like, opened heaven's doors so that we can go there too, if we belong to him, then when we die, that's where we go, because that's where he is. And he conquered death for us all, so, you know, that's great. But in the meantime, right now, right, because this is Aberdeen, this is definitely, very definitely not heaven, this is Aberdeen. Right now, do you think Jesus is, like, just up there waiting so that we only get all the wonderful things about Easter morning when we die and we get to heaven? Or do you think it's got something for us right now? Right now. You'll guess that that's the right answer, won't you? There's something for us right now. In fact, Jesus is not just up there waiting for us in heaven a long way off. He says, and it was in the bit that Joe read out, he says that he's with us right now. Now. Let me read it to you. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, which is just what Jesus had told them to do. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all I have commanded you." And then he says this, "And lo," he says, or surely, "I am," for sure, "I am." Now, some of you might have a Bible with you. Some of you might be able to guess. "I am to the very end of the world." What's the bit? "I am waiting for you." Thank you, Mitch. Not waiting for you, but with you. He said, "I'm with you." So when Jesus rose from the dead, it wasn't just so that he could go to heaven ahead of us all and get it all ready for us if we believe in him and we're following him. And he didn't say, "And lo, I am waiting for you to the end of the age." He said, "Surely, for absolute, dead sure, fire cert, I am with you." Now, here's the thing then. When Jesus says, "I want you to go and tell people about me, and I want you, if you're following me, to help other people to follow me," because that's what being a follower of Jesus means, being somebody who follows and helps others to follow. When he said that, do you think he's helping us or just kind of up there in heaven watching us and waiting for us to make a mistake? Do you think he's helping us or do you think he's just watching us? What do you think? Excellent. He's helping us because he's with us. So when we try what things that we can do, whether it's using one of the little Try Praying booklets that we'll think about either this evening or next week or whenever, and we'll get some of the stories back of people handing them on. This is really just a forewarning in case you haven't done that yet, just hand one on so that, you know. When we try and tell people or we show people what Jesus is like, and when we pray that people will start following him, then we're not doing that on our own. Because Jesus said, "I am Oops, someone tell it. I am with you. So he's helping us. Now, here's a question. Is he only with you when you're being good? Or is he with you all the time? All the time. These are easy ones, okay? Is he only with you when you're at church and Sunday school, or is he with you all the time? All the time. So, tell me some of the places you go. How many of you go to school? Teachers also put their hands up. Okay. Yeah? So, is Jesus with you when you go to school? Yeah, he is. Tell me, how many of you go swimming? Oh, good. You mean Jesus is with you when you go swimming? Yes. How many of you play football? Some of the dads, that's good. Honest answer. Is he with you when you're playing football? He is. He is, that's right. So when you want to take someone out and go for the man, not the ball, is he with you to help you not to do that? Yes, he is. Of course he is. How many of you... let's go for something a bit less gender-specific on the sporting side. There isn't anything, is there? How many of you play hockey? Have you any of you played hockey? Some of you, good. Excellent. He's with you when you play hockey. How many of you... This is a terrible thing. How many of you have homework? Do you ever get homework? It's an awful thing. You're very young to get homework. Is he with you when you're doing your homework? Yes, of course he is. How many of you have, like, a bunch of friends at school or somewhere? Oh, one or two. Good. Okay. Now, how many of you sometimes, your friends are going to do something and you think, oh, I don't think I should do that. And how many, is he with you when you have to be different from people around you? Is he with you then? Yes, he is. And then when you want to tell somebody that you went to church on Sunday, is he with you then? Is he with you? He is. And when you tell people that you went to church on Sunday and they laugh at you or they make fun of you or they make silly, silly comments, is he with you then? Yes, he is. And if you ever say to somebody, and sometimes you've got to be awfully brave to do this, and grown-ups have to be awfully brave to do this, and we all do. Sometimes if you tell somebody that you follow Jesus... Is he with you then? Yes, he is. And if you have to say, sometimes you say to somebody, well, I pray to Jesus and I ask him to help me. Is he with you then? Of course he is. When you have to say something, you worry people might laugh at you, but he's with you. And if ever you want to say to somebody, well, maybe you could follow Jesus too. Have you any reason why you shouldn't? He's with you then. And if ever you need to say to somebody, look, you can go to heaven because of Jesus, he's with you then. Put your hand up if you've ever been afraid. If you've ever been afraid. Very good. Not many grown-ups have been really remarkably brave. Okay, we'll ask everybody. Ever been afraid? Okay. Of course we have. Is he with you when you're afraid? Yes, he is. And he's with you when you have to do something that's right and good, and it's what he wants, even if it's what nobody else wants. He's with you. Is he with you when you're sad? Is he with you when you're worried? Yes, he is. Is he with you when you feel really guilty because you've done something really bad? Yes, he is. Is he with you when you just don't know what to do? Yes! Is he with you when you know the answers to the minister's questions? Yes. Is he with you when you don't? Yes. Why? Because of Easter Day, the very first Easter Day. Because he conquered death, he was not taken away from us. That's the terrible thing that death does, takes people away. This isn't like going and living in another country, because you've always got Facebook and Twitter and everything, so you're more in touch with people at home than you are when you're at home. This isn't like going away to another country. This isn't like going away on holiday. When death takes people away, it takes them away. But you know, Jesus conquered death. So it never, ever takes him away from you or from me. So he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So he's with us this morning, and he'll be with you this afternoon and tomorrow, and when you go back to school on Tuesday and back to work on Tuesday, and he'll be with you. And he says, wherever you go, as you go, make disciples. So just as you and I have found out what it means to follow Jesus, so we try and help others to find out the same. We're going to pray. So let's close our eyes. No, don't get too distracted. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, risen, conquering Lord. Thank you that not even death has taken you away from us. Thank you that your death didn't do that. And thank you that our death will simply bring us to you. Thank you that you've got the answer for everything. Thank you that you are with us all the time. Thank you that there's never a moment, day or night, when you aren't with us. Thank you that wherever we go, whatever we do, you're with us because of the resurrection. And thank you that when this life is over and this journey is finished, thank you that heaven is our home. Thank you that you've opened the door for us. Thank you that you've got a place ready for us. Thank you for being our living King. Amen. Now we're going to sing a hymn to close. Glory to Jesus, risen, conquering Son.